they look at me and they're like, oh, you're really going to do this, aren't you? Yeah. Like, why would I come if I'm not going to do it? And they're like, you're like 1 in 100. Like, literally, like, nobody takes this information and does anything with it. And it was the hubris of youth. A huge project to do as my first project. And in a lot of ways, it nearly killed me. You literally don't score unless you shoot. So, you know, fortune favors the bold. Like, you have to go for it if you want something.
Hello, everyone. Coming in, sit on down. It's time for another episode of the Truth at Therapy Sessions. That's right. It's Sunday. What day is it? Are we on Sunday? Yeah, it's Sunday evening, isn't it? I'm losing track of time. For those who are watching live, I'm sure my wife has made it clear in the chat there that I've just spent the last 5 minutes completely talking into the ether, thinking you were all listening along. So I now have to repeat myself and try and get back on track and mentally get myself in the zone here. I made a classic rookie mistake. I forgot to press go live on OBS. I'm sure content creators listening may know what that feels like. I know Jade Room is in the chat there saying he's experienced the same thing before. But it's not the first. This is the embarrassing thing. That's not the first time I've done that. My wife has had to tell me quite a few times that I am talking to absolutely nobody. But here I am. We're here now. I'm late. I'm sorry I'm late to the live listeners. I have had back-to-back interviews for the past 2 hours. I was on with somebody for a documentary he's making about DMT and the jesters and ayahuasca, and he wanted me just to give my spiel and take on all of that. So that's something to look forward to soon. I'm going to be on a documentary. I think it's a student documentary. I'm not sure, but it was fun anyway. And I'll be uploading that conversation somewhere. Patreon, maybe YouTube members, I don't know, but I will be uploading that somewhere for you guys to have a listen, so that's coming very soon. And then after that, I was talking with somebody else who reached out to me, who's had some experience with secret societies, the Odd Fellows, family members who were Freemasons, and dealing with abuse growing up, SRA stuff. And that conversation will be coming up as well, probably on Patreon and maybe to YouTube as well. Early access on Patreon first, but that needs some editing because some stuff has been said which might not be YouTube friendly, but obviously the uncensored version will be available to my patrons and perhaps YouTube members as well. We'll see. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. And right off the back of that, I had to come on here and set up the stream, get the thumbnail organized. It's a process, you know, and I've been busy, but I'm here now. We're good to go. We're going to do our usual Sunday live show. We're going to do a Truth or Therapy session. I've got a bit of a presentation for you all today, something which seems to be doing the rounds on the news, which I think is always worth discussing, especially from a conspiratorial viewpoint, because this is something that we've kind of always been thinking about and talking about in our community, and that is asteroids. We have three city killer asteroids back to back, week after week, coming towards Earth. And there's a potential they could be coming into our atmosphere and destroying us all with the fervent heat of 1,000 Hiroshima bombs. We always get these stories every now and then coming up, don't we? And I think it might be worth going through them, reading the articles, and kind of giving a realistic perspective on what we're actually dealing with here, especially from the viewpoint of us being in an enclosed system. Not vast, infinite millions and billions of light years space, as we've been told. So I think we're going to have to cover that. But before we do that, let's just check the chat. Let's see what's going on. You did just see there at the start a presentation, didn't you, for Christopher from BioCharisma podcast. He has joined me on my new channel, Understanding Creativity. And before I get to the chat, I do want to just shill more for my stuff. I have this new channel, if you haven't heard, Understanding Creativity. And I would like you to go over there and subscribe if possible, because I'm really enjoying what I'm making on there. I'm having a lot of fun with this one. This is it. This is what you're seeing. We have almost 2,000 subscribers there in just a week, which is incredible. That's wonderful. A lot of new subscribers on there that haven't even come from my channel here have joined just because of the videos alone. This video went viral here, the one I did with Susan Faraday, a practicing artist and lecturer, art historian, discussing Klimt, his painting The Kiss, the occult undertones within his contemporary life and existence within Vienna, talking about his ties to Kubrick as well, and how Kubrick, his artwork inspired a lot of the scenes in there. It's a very fascinating conversation. It's a very controversial video. I've had people screaming that we're evil and terrible and don't even deserve art because of us attacking the sacred cow of Klimt, shall we say. But I've also had an overwhelming response of positivity from people saying this is actually incredible, and Susan did a fantastic job, and it's showing because it's spreading, and it's done really well. And what's coming up next, as you just saw a teaser for, is a discussion along the similar veins with somebody who builds domes for a living, Christopher Gardner. Again, runs the Biochrisma podcast, has been doing some amazing things with his life, creating some incredible architecture. He is an artist, an artisan in his own right, and an architect. And he lays out his story, and I've had images to back it up. I've pretty much finished the video, just some final editing things need doing, and it's going to get uploaded in the week. So don't miss out on that, which is coming very soon in a few days on Understanding Creativity. If you like what I do here on Understanding Conspiracy, go over to Understanding Creativity. It's more of the same. I'm not just talking about boring art stuff. If you think that's all it is, it's all rooted in conspiracy. It's more of what I do here, just over there, with an art theme, okay? It's focusing on the creativity and the degradation of creativity as well. So don't miss out. Go and subscribe. Link's down below. I think my wife may have just posted a link in the chat if you're watching this live as well. Go and support that that new channel. It's, again, guys, it's more content. It's more of what I do here. But I've been putting a lot of effort into these videos. They are high production quality with their own special introductions. You've got unique music by myself. That piano you heard there at the start is all me. It's all in-house. It's I'm spending hours making these videos, as my wife will tell you. It's a lot of extra work and time, but I love doing it, and I don't want you guys to miss any of that. So go and subscribe to the new channel. But let's get to the chat. Let's see who we've got. We've got Pearl. Thanks for being here. We've got Bora. We've got Granola Grin. We've got Brian Templar. We've got Crypto Grady in the house. We've got Wendy, moderator extraordinaire. We've got the Cult of Con. He's managed to join us as well. You did a great Sunday service again there this Sunday, Connor. Thanks for that. I did listen earlier. Go check out Connor's channel, listen to his Sunday service. If you haven't already, you cannot help but be moved listening to that guy preach the word of God. Honestly, it gets you, it grips you, and I enjoy listening to him. Keep a lookout for auroras tonight in the Northern Hemisphere, even in the Southern States, says God Heart Guardian. So we're having auroras tonight, guys. Go check it out. So what I saw the other day, I was about to go to bed last night. I looked out the window, and it must have been the northeastern sky, if I'm looking right on the horizon. The moon was there. It was a crescent moon, and it was red. Blood red. I've never seen the moon like that before. I can anyone explain what was going on there? It was a blood red crescent moon on the horizon, and it was scary to look at. I was looking at it, you know, you're about to close the curtains, and it just gets you, and I stopped. With a sudden realization of what I'm looking at. I was like, what is that's the moon, you know, that got me. So if anyone wants to explain that to me, please let me know what I was looking at there. But and let me know if you guys saw it too. It was certainly a sight to behold, I'll say that. We got Marcus Rodriguez in the house. He's number one currently. And yes, I hope you're all fighting each other and tearing each other apart to get to that number one position in the new social credit system that's coming up on YouTube. We now have a community leaderboard in the chat if you haven't seen already. We were playing around with this last time. But right now, Marcus is number one. Amelia's number two. Joyful One is number three. And if you are not in the top three, you are last. You are dead to me. No, I'm joking. I don't really care about it. This is clearly some weird, desperate attempt by YouTube to do something here. I don't know what they're trying to do. But yeah, that is strange. Enjoy that, guys. Enjoy whatever the hell that is. I'm still surprised Wendy is at number one. I'm still offended. But I do believe if she games the system and starts banning a bunch of people and putting people in timeouts, that counts as interaction with the chat. So if you've said lots of things throughout the entire chat process and she decides to delete you, then every single message that gets deleted is an interaction. So I think she gets bumped straight to number one. And my wife could do that too if she wanted to. So watch it, guys. watch what you're doing, because these people will be skyrocketed to number one in no time. There is a cheat, there is a hack, and the moderators have the keys to that hack. I will say that right now. What you think people are gone do when Project Bluebeans goes down? What do you think people are going to do when Project Bluebean goes down, says Shauna? It's a good question. I mean, people are going to do what people do, and they're going to probably freak out. Right, most people were the average person who's not even ever once thought of anything outside of their day-to-day life is not going to be able to cope with a holographic alien invasion happening in the skies. Okay, they are going to, yeah, they don't have the framework to handle that. And I believe quite literally there's going to be a contingent of people, maybe a small percentage of humans, who when the sky tears open and we see a geometric red glowing satanic sigil pattern suddenly appear in the skies above us, just engulfing from horizon to horizon, I think a lot of people's hearts will stop. They'll die on the spot from fear. Like, they're not going to be able to cope. That will, I think that's the first thing that will happen. And then those who didn't die are going to go insane. They are going to lose it and probably turn on people very quickly. Fight or flight mode, survival mode will kick in. They won't have the time or capacity emotionally to process what's happening, and they'll resort to survival mode. So that probably happened. And then there'll be us who'll be like, I'm just going to lock the door and stay inside until this whole thing blows over. Because we know this is always part of the plan. And I'm going to treat it like a Passover situation. We got the blood of the lamb covering us. Just stay inside. Keep the curtains closed. Let whatever's going to go down, go down. And then we just keep focused on God. I think that's probably the best thing to do under that scenario. But make no mistake, it's going to all be just one giant show. Absolutely. And I think what we're talking about today is heavily linked to this future use of the reflective particles in the atmosphere mixed with some kind of light system to create a holographic projection of something convincing happening in the sky, as though it's something like an alien invasion. I think the asteroid topic, which we're going to discuss, is linked to this. And I think they might be prepping us for what this eventuality, this thing that's going to happen one day involving these technologies. It's a long plan in the making. A very long plan in the making. I don't think they're just going to chuck it in the bin. I think they're going to go through with this, even though there's quite a lot of us now who are cluing into it. I still think they've got enough of the people fooled to get away with it, and they're going to still try it. And this whole... we've seen a series of events, haven't we? We've seen a series of events happening, to be honest. We've seen recently... You know, we had an explosion of alternative cosmologists in the past decade, haven't we? In the flat Earth, as it's called, you know, it kind of blew up and everyone started questioning the realm and questioning NASA and the narrative. The moon landing quickly broke apart and was obviously faked. And like, it's not, it didn't even try very hard when we actually look at the footage now. And it's like the whole narrative is, the foundations of that narrative have just been shook greatly. And I think they've done what they can, but now we're realizing they've been talking a lot of bollocks to us for a long time. And, you know, people, they try to control the opposition. They create ridiculous accounts spreading the flat earth and making it look and sound ridiculous. And they've done everything they can to control the narrative, but it's rested with us, the Christians, saying God told us it was an enclosed system. I believe it's an enclosed system, you know, whatever they tell us. And then recently we've seen pushback, we've seen the collapse of that movement and all the people within it being like proven to be snake oil salesmen, charlatans, or backpedaling 180s being done. We saw the final experiment suddenly happen that has once and for all put the nail in the coffin of the flat earth, you know, and that type of thing. And yes, they may have destroyed a very terrible model that never works great, but the model's just wrong. It's definitely not the model they've told us, you know. But I think that was their attempt to try and get the narrative back on track. I feel like that was a controlling event. It's kind of like, right, we've spent billions building the technology for this alien invasion. Like, and we can't let it fail now. We need to, like, shut these people up, release more propaganda proving that they've been proven wrong so we can get back on track and get aliens on the agenda again, you know? And This goes all the way back to Werner von Braun's assistant, doesn't it? You know, she's there telling us, I worked with this renowned ex-Nazi rocket scientist, you know, Werner von Braun. And he kept telling me, you know, over and over again, the final thing is going to be the fake alien invasion. Like, don't buy any of it, you know. But to get there, to build, and the whole of it, all of it is just to build space-based weapons. It's all just an excuse to get lasers in the sky so they can control us all, you know. And she was saying, first it'll be Nations of Concern will be the thing you're going to see in the news. And then it'll be third world crazies and dictators that'll suddenly start turning up. That means we need to push forward with this technology. And then it's going to be asteroids. We're going to have threats from asteroids from out of space. And these are going to be used as justifications for the coming space, why we need space weapons, you know. And then the final card will be the alien invasion, the false alien invasion. None of it's going to be real. Like, it's all going to be completely fake, you know. And this is just to get those weapons in the sky so we can control the people. It's kind of what they say. Werner von Braun had like a Bible passage on his tombstone, which is about the firmament, which confirms that, you know, we're in an enclosed system. There's a lid on us. There's no space. We can't get out, you know? And it's kind of like she said, you know, the final card. No, never forget that final card. It's all going to be a lie. And I realize, okay, well, if that's the timeline, then we're at the asteroid stage. Because every, like, year, and now every week, I'm seeing an article telling us that asteroids are a big problem. We're in trouble, guys. Space debris could hit us at any moment. You know, and then you see a lot of these fear articles getting released, don't you? Where they say scientists worried that there's a possibility that an asteroid, this certain asteroid could hit, could this city killer, they describe it as something terrible. This city destroying asteroid could hit us, you know. And I read the articles and one of them said, like, since the release of this article, scientists have confirmed that the chance of this hitting us are actually less than 2%. But the hype they made when they first heard about it was so terrifying. It's like 90% chance we're going to get hit by this city-killing asteroid, you know? And then it's kind of like, well, actually, after the fact and after really thinking about it, scientists think the chances are actually extremely slim. You know, but that's after the fact when no one's reading the article anymore. Yeah, but they put the correction in afterwards, so it's all okay, you know? And that always happens. I mean, I remember in like 2011, 2010, everyone believed Nibiru was coming back into our solar system, okay? And bringing with it a debris cloud that we're going to travel through. Comet Ison is going to leave behind its, after it makes its parallax around the sun, it's going to leave its trail and we're going to go through the trail and debris is going to just come raining down on us. You know, we're going to die. And all the videos of like massive meteor smashing into the earth and a huge tidal wave just rips out and ripples across the earth and then everything gets destroyed and volcanic ash rises and fire just engulfs the earth. And all these videos always being played on, like, these dramatic conspiracy videos back in the day, like a decade ago. And then, like, Rec Room for a Dream, like, it's like playing in the background. The hype of, like, we're going to get hit by something from space and we're all going to die. That's been going on for like a decade. We're not dead yet. Nothing's hit us. There was that Chelyabinsk event. Do you remember that one? Like, a while ago in, like, Russia, where something streaked through the sky and all the windows just blew out in that area. Like, some force happened and it's like it was a meteor breaking up in our atmosphere. Or was it like a missile being sent through and just blew up or something? Who really knows what that was? But it's an enclosed system. I'm telling you right now, nothing from space is hurtling through our atmosphere and destroying us, right? And I meteor showers, those little wisps of light that flicker every now and then that we can predict, you know, is that debris from space burning up in our atmosphere? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that's not destructive, is it? We've never been worried that meteor shower was going to kill us all. Why don't we worry about that? Why is it? It's going to be these bus-sized pieces of rocks or mini moons from Venus or something like that. But it's just fear. Because once you gain the blessed understanding that it's all fake and gay, they made it all up. It's not real. Okay, it's stories propped up by lies and false events that aren't real. It's, and no, with this, with the advent of AI now, that's changed everything, you know, because now we realize, well, how long have they had this technology for? How many things did they fake? What's going on? You know, what can they fake? And it's kind of, all I know is it's an enclosed system, debris from some vast infinite universe, or the Oort cloud is not coming to us. That's not true. It's not happening. It's just fear. It's all fear. And I'm not saying, you know, they couldn't just nuke a place and tell us a meteor hit it. They could do that. I say nuke, if nukes aren't even real either. Oh, that's the whole thing, is just they could destroy a place with ballistic missiles or hydrogen bombs or whatever they've got, whatever weapon we have on our side, and can just tell us, oh yeah, that's because a meteor hit, didn't you hear? A city killer was on its way. And it's kind of, yeah, whatever. Whatever. What lengths are they going to go to prop up this lie? Who knows? But never forget the plan. This is the step just before alien invasion. Okay? We're under threat from outer space. There are threats in space coming for us. And right now they're in the shape of rocks. Big, big rocks covered in ice, you know? But what's coming next? What else could be a threat out there? What else could be coming? Who knows? What's that mysterious object that's behind the sun? You know, just like, loads of stuff like this, you know. I'm not buying it. I'm not scared of the city-killing asteroids, and you shouldn't be either. But think, try and think back to what it was like before you were aware of the biblical cosmological worldview. Before you were aware of what every single human civilization up until the past 100 years was aware of. That it's an enclosed, domed system of some kind. It's limited, it's not infinite, it's finite, you know. Think back to when you didn't understand that. An article like this would really scare you. Like, this would, and I think it might, for so many of you, it might have been a long time, so you forgot. Some of you might be fresh, you might still remember what it feels like. But I'm telling you now, I'm telling you right now, a lot of people hearing this stuff are terrified. Absolutely terrified of this. And it's probably working more so than we realize. We can laugh from our privileged position of kind of going through it and already realizing we've been lied to about that a long time ago. But I can see this working. So let's just read an article so you can kind of get a grasp of the type of language they use. I'll just get this one up. This is from the New York Post. Okay, we'll do the New York Post. I'll pause that video because we don't need to see that. We'll move it across. So here we go. Three city-killing asteroids could strike Earth within weeks, generating a million times more energy than Hiroshima atomic bomb. Wow, the English is really bad on these. Have you noticed? They always, is this AI? I don't know who wrote this article. Probably AI, but they're always missing out fundamental words that make sentences flow. More energy than Hiroshima atomic bomb. Like, did someone from China write this? Like, generating a million times more energy than the Hiroshima atomic bomb. But I notice this a lot. I read a lot of these articles for this channel, and this happens a lot. Like, missing letters. Anyway, that's by the by. Let's keep going. Good things don't coming threes. Ah, I see what they did there. That was very clever, wasn't it? Venus is concealing at least three city killer asteroids that could strike Earth in weeks without warning. It could happen anytime, guys. You could just be sipping your coffee in the morning, then bam, city killer. All right. Potentially wreaking havoc upon our planet before we can react. So it's all about, this is the means to the end, isn't it? What are we going to do about this? Do we even have the means to combat asteroids that could destroy our cities? What's our government going to do about this outrage? We're in danger from asteroids, and our government has done nothing about this? You can see where we're going here, right? 20 co-orbital asteroids, space rocks in the orbit of two celestial bodies, of Venus are currently known. The authors warned in the Arocalyptic study, which was published in the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics. The interdimensional research team led by Valerio Caruba of Sao Paulo University in Brazil wrote that at least three of the asteroids, 2020 SB, blah, 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 CL2, or, yeah, whatever, the circle the sun in tandem with our twin planet have unstable orbits that take them dangerously close to the Earth. So they're saying these, we know about these, and every year they kind of get very close to us. So here's the, so got this CGI ridiculous rendition here. Really bad job as well. Of a flaming asteroid coming in from the dark, cold, icy space, you know. It says here, what's this? An asteroid streaking towards Earth. We aim to assess the possible threat that the yet undetected population of Venus co-orbiters may pose to Earth, and to investigate the detectability from Earth and space observatories. The study, right? So Venus has these hidden asteroids around it that could get us, is what they're trying to say. If this shaky trajectory is shifted only slightly by a small gravitational change or other force, the asteroids could be set on a collision course with our planet, per the study. Co-orbital status protects these asteroids from close approaches to Venus, but it does not protect them from encountering Earth, the researchers warned. To the Daily Galaxy. God, these things sound terrible, don't they? Karuba and co. came to this conclusion by using imitation space rocks to simulate a range of possible outcomes over 36,000 years, finding that there is a sizable population of low eccentricity asteroids, those previously thought to be harmless, that could be propelled towards Earth via gravitational shifts and other factors. So there's a picture of Venus, if you didn't know what it looked like. And look at this. They basically they took a photo of somewhere on Google Earth that's in the desert and wrapped it around a sphere and then did a bit of paint here and there. Looks like with a paintbrush in Photoshop. Yeah, whatever. So this is a stock photo by Revers Jr. This is not a real picture of Venus. This is a artistic rendition. Okay, remember that. To make matters worse, the aforementioned cosmic rocks make them almost invisible to earthly detection devices. While scientists at NASA and other space agencies routinely track potentially hazard near Earth asteroids, the telescopes can't spot rocks in a suborbital path with Venus due to the sun's glare, which shields them like a cosmic cloaking device. Due to the interstellar blind spots, the Rubin Observatory in Chile would have only 2 to 4 weeks to spot deadly asteroids, leaving as little time if they were on a collision course. So it's all about a warning, like, if this happened, and potentially Venus could do this, and it seems like maybe Venus has these hidden rocks that we just don't know about, and if some slight change in orbital gravitational forces happens, then it could be that a rock comes flying towards us, and we wouldn't even see it in time because of the sun's glare based on the positions of where it is. So there's a lot of ifs, a lot of buffs, a lot of maybes, a lot of made-up bullshit, just to generate the fear, the concept, the idea that if this did happen, you do know we're completely defenseless, right? That's all this is for. There's no threat. Even in this article, it's all hypotheticals based on potentials from their perspective, and maybe, perhaps, so they say, trust us, bro. That's what this is. So unfortunately, due to the constraints of terrestrial monitoring equipment, we may have to look to the stars for a solution. We believe that only a dedicated observational campaign from a space-based mission near Venus could potentially map and discover all the still visible, potentially hazardous asteroids among Venus co-orbital asteroids, the author wrote. However, the powers that be better hurry, as researchers predict that co-orbital asteroids' orbit could become unpredictable in just more than 150 years. Ooh, just around the corner, right? A blip in the interstellar timescale. Yeah, so as you can see, no asteroids, three city-killing asteroids are not on the way to Earth. That's not what's happening. It's all just rhetoric. It's all just a bunch of words to convince you that this could be happening. Maybe, potentially, based on some stuff we've just said. This is literally magic they're using here. They just made a bunch of symbols, put them together, and made this scary sounding image that doesn't exist anywhere in reality, only in symbol form on their platform. And by putting it out there into the world, they have influenced people in a big way to implement and force forward and demand a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. That's magic. That's using art pictures, scary pictures of flaming rocks, words, sounds, spelling. They spelled a bunch of words and put some scary images on there, some artwork, and now they've magically terrified a large portion of the population who are demanding change and solutions to get that implemented, willing the government to build some kind of protective system, okay? Protect us, please, from the potential of danger from space. That's exactly what was talked about. That's exactly what the whistleblowers were saying about what Wernher von Braun was trying to explain to his assistant, right? Space, first asteroid. Then when you hear about asteroids, then it'll be the fake alien invasion. Okay, so we're on the asteroid stage, guys. That's where we are in the timeline. If you want to talk about it, this is where we've come up to, okay? It's a plan, it's a script. It's a long written plan and script. I bet we're going to see some movies released in the next year or two about asteroids hitting the Earth. That's coming soon. More, I'm sure they've already made movies like that. There's going to be more, okay? I bet it's coming. Brent C, remember people are sheeple too. That's true. I know I'm not happy. I'm not putting these people down who believe it. I'm saying they're under a spell. They've been manipulated and lied to by scary sounding symbols and words and pictures. Okay. Magic is being used on them. This is magic. This is what it really is. This is what witches do. This is what wizards do. They do this, and it causes real world tangible influence and change and makes people do stuff they wouldn't ordinarily do. They're under a spell. Okay, this is what's happening. And there's more to be said here, because right now, isn't Trump talking about putting a golden dome over America? So they're doing something about it. And this thing can detect missiles, get rid of them, shoot them down before anything could be a threat to the US ground and soil. We're going to get Canada in on it. We'll make them join. They'll become the 51st state. Just you wait, you know. They're going to get in on this protection system as well, this dome, you know. And it's kind of, I'm going to make them pay for it, that kind of stuff. But fundamentally, I bet if something like this does happen, this is a random prediction. It could be wrong. I'm just throwing it at the wall, see what happens. Maybe in like a couple of years' time, I can pull this video and say, see, I called it. Maybe not. Maybe it's going to be nothing. Who knows? You should never make predictions in this game because they always become wrong. But what if this dome saves America from a space rock? Right? And isn't the dome basically a system of space-based weapons? Floating weapons, you know what I mean, that will blast things out the sky before they have a chance, you know, putting them up in the atmosphere like satellites with guns attached or something. I bet it's something like that. Like, and they're going to manage to shoot down an asteroid, not a nuclear weapon or something. And that's the justification. So, see, we're under threat by asteroids, but our space-based weapons saved us. It could have killed a city, don't you know? Maybe something like that will happen. I don't know. And again, all of it's bullshit. They just fired a missile up there and blew it up and said that's what the thing did. It's all just smoke and mirrors, you know, and the news has framed it this way. There'll be major hype about this thing coming first, and then, don't worry, the dome got it. The space-based weapons got it, guys. We're safe. And then, boom, aliens. Something like that happens. Something completely out of left field throws us out, and then we're done. Yeah, but I'm just saying, to be honest, I'm probably preaching to the choir here. I bet you all know this, but share this with people who may be really giving it. If you see somebody out there who's really scared of these things and is really thinking this is a real problem, just share them this and get the ball rolling in their mind, okay? Because these propaganda attempts, these spells they're trying to cast in these articles are weak when you hold them up to the truth, okay? When you actually learn the truth, read the Bible, get the biblical history down, you know, and get these things, this understanding of where we actually are, learn who's really pulling the strings and what the agendas are. These articles are laughable. They're cringeworthy, in fact. And let's get more people on board with that and seeing it that way, shall we? Anyway, what do you guys think of that? Let's come to the chat quickly, and I'll move on to the thing I've got about telescopes to share with you as well, because we've had some interesting events around telescopes happening recently. Which I think, again, links to all of this. It's creating a big narrative. It's creating a big narrative for us to all think is real. Shauna says, you know what, Paul? Maybe people don't need Needs to get hit in the head with a rock, probably knock some sense into some people. Maybe, well, yeah, that's one thing to say, isn't it? But who's number one right now? It's Brent. Brent C, you are number one currently. Brian Templar is close second, and Marcus Rodriguez is now third. He's been knocked down. Mark, you are very close. You're fourth currently. You could be in the top three, you know. You could be in the top three. You got to interact more. Get that engagement going. Connor says, it reminds me of Ceiling Fan Man's Scary Space News segment. Yes, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? Well, you should be scared today. You know, ooh, spooky news. Like, oh no, the auroras are coming. Space weather, the sun's spitting things at us, guys. Don't you know? Like, we're in trouble. It could be another Carrington event. That type of stuff. And we're not prepared. We're not ready for this. Like, forces beyond our control. Yeah. Nature's scary. That's what they're going for, isn't it? You know, it's that whole evolutionary, we are whim to the nature. Mankind needs to dominate nature and do everything we can to protect ourselves from the vicious, savage cruelty of cold-hearted Mother Nature, you know, who doesn't care for us whatsoever. Yeah, that's demiurge stuff when you really get down to brass tacks, isn't it? Yeah, the world wants to kill us and we're all in trouble. We're all doomed. Never mind the fact that, no, we have a loving, caring God who wants nothing but what's best for us. And it's not that scary. Fear not. 365 times in the New Testament, you know? Yeah. Normal people believe it, though. I know. What have we got here? I think my chat might be lagging a little bit. Let me just quickly check something. Jay Dreamers, in the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space, they arrive what looks like a comet / asteroid. Are you joking? I never watched the movie. I know I'm the Nephilim clown guy, and I've never watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I've seen some clips, I've seen the highlights, you know, but I never saw that they came in what looks like an asteroid. Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Jay Dreamers. I really appreciate it. I'm going to have to look at that now. I'm going to have to try and find that. I'm going to do it right now. You've got me. Let me just quickly look. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Spaceship Rock. Maybe that'll be enough. Let's look at images. Here it looks like they come in some kind of floating big top tent of some kind. Let's have a look at what we got. There's no picture of the space rock. It looks like they're flying in circus tents in these pictures I've seen. Look at this. This is absolutely ridiculous. I might as well share the screen with you guys. Look at some of these pictures here. It's like a big top tent hurtling through space. Yeah, they definitely had some fun with this one, didn't they? I can tell you that for sure. Look at this thing. It was like a dreidel, doesn't it, of some kind as well. Maybe that was something they're trying to tell us. I don't know. But what a ridiculous movie. What a ridiculous premise for a movie. Is that supposed to be the spaceship after it's landed? I feel like I'm going to have to watch this movie just for the kitschy nature. I know they just released a video game of Killer Clowns from Outer Space as well. So they're definitely keeping that alive in the consciousness of the zeitgeist of humanity. Well, this one here, the shadow one, I remember this. It takes the shape of a lizard, doesn't it? Of a giant lizard before it eats a person with its shadow. I mean, what the hell is that even about? Look at this thing. But the Nephilim were half reptile, half human. So that makes sense that that clown reference would be made there to the reptilians. It's all. But anyway, we're talking about asteroids today, guys. Stop sidetracking me with clown nonsense, all right? We're talking about magic. We're talking about asteroids. We're talking about the fear cycle. We're talking about the nonsense they push on us. And we're talking about, let's just break that nonsense finally and just laugh at it for what it truly is. We are not really under threat from rocks hurtling through space. We are not under threat. These are just means to justify the ends, which is more control. It's fear-based. It's psychological warfare. They're trying to traumatize you because you're easier to control when you're traumatized. But trauma also opens you up more readily to demonic possession, to the spirit realm. It's why shamans who can suddenly communicate with spirit guides all have a horrible story of extreme trauma before their powers were discovered. They're doing it to us. They're forcing it on us, okay? And yeah, don't give in. Ignore it. There must be a 33 ring circus up there, says Douglas Mosley. I like that. Doug, while I've got you here, thanks for dropping in and thanks for the book recommendation. It turned up the other day, Modern Art and the Death of a Culture by R.H. Ruckmecker. He actually is a Christian from the 70s, basically explaining how modern art became what it was, going through the art history. I've been digging into this already. I'm a few chapters in. Fascinating stuff. I skipped ahead to Picasso to see what he had to say about that whole movement as well in the times. A great book to contextualize how art through each passing movement got worse and worse and more further away from God. And as a Christian author, I mean, this guy is hitting the nail on the head. He explains it perfectly and humbly as well. So thanks for the recommendation. I will be reading into this very soon. I got it so cheap. This is from Portugal on eBay. I think I got it for £1.92 plus postage. So cheap. So I'm happy about that. And look, guys, it's got pictures. I didn't expect pictures, but it has pictures, you know. Maybe I should have done that with my book. Who knows? I'm not going to do it, though, because it's just cost too much money. But yeah, there you go. And Steve Oz, quite right, Paul. Brian Templar, create movie. Yep. We can always fit the Nephilim in, says The Matrix Unraveled. Yeah, somewhere along the way, I'll always manage to talk about the Nephilim. I can't help myself. It's what I do. It's just what I do. It's what I do. Makes sense how evil looks for the innocent. Underground cities have always been a thing, it seems. It's a great book. Thanks for talking about it, says Douglas. Yeah, well, once I've actually read through the thing, I might do a book review on the Understanding Creativity channel. It makes sense, you know, and explain how this is what he thinks, this is how he said it, and I think it might be good to bring it to a wider audience. This is a second edition from 1971. But yeah, good book. Thanks for the recommendation. Perfect, perfect content for the channel. And who knows, maybe I'll do an audiobook reading as well one day if I have time, after I've done my own audiobook, which I'm currently doing for The Nephilim Look Like Clowns Volume 1, The History. I am 15 chapters down, another 5 to go, so the audiobook for this is coming out soon. And just, you can rest assured, it's all human made. No AI has gone into the making of this book, okay? None of it. It's all written by me. By me, okay? And the audiobook is all read by me. Live action, doing it in the studio with this microphone, repeating myself, making mistakes, cutting things out, getting it right for you guys. It's a very long, arduous process, but I am doing it. So when you buy the audiobook, you can rest assured knowing no artificial intelligence has gone into the making of my work, okay? The book is written by my mind only, all right? No AI. None of it anywhere. The voice is mine alone. And get this, as soon as I start recording my audiobook, I get like 3 chapters in, I get a message from Amazon, okay? And they say, hey, guess what? Your book is eligible for AI audiobook transcripts, okay? So if you want, just click this button and we'll read your book for you. And people can buy it and it's our AI voice just reading it. That's it. You know, you don't have to do anything. An audiobook in minutes. And I'm like, I'm already like halfway through my own reading of it, and I'm like, no, screw you, I'm doing this, don't take this away from me, this is my book, I'm gonna read the damn thing, I'm not gonna get some AI voice to do it for me. And it's kind of, so yeah, I resisted the temptation, I'm doing it. But rest assured, there's gonna be many books out there on Amazon right now, and they're gonna get an AI voice to audiobook read it instead, because they're just too lazy to do it themselves or pay somebody else to do it. No, I'm doing it, so you can know that when you buy it. Right, so that's coming soon. Anyway, back to the chat. Brian, you're king. Is he? I don't know. Mark's number one now. He got to number one with the clown emoji. It's a race to the top, isn't it? You're all just foaming at the bit to be number one. Tinfoil Army. Mine was a flimsy paperback. well, you know. I mean, the backing's nice and all, but actually it's just like a red, it's quite a nice looking book on its own, just in the red. It comes with this frontispiece and everything, like, and yeah, it's nice, but it's a nice little book. Size like 7 writing, I think it is, something to make it a bit smaller. I feel my comments are always passed by. I have a valid question, says Joshua. Aloha. Ask your question. I'm not purposely passing your stuff. I just get a lot of comments here and I can't see everything. Does everyone here wholly think they don't exist? I don't believe NASA, but I did see the comet and hear a boom, and a man did find a strange rock. Look, I'm not saying things can't fall from the sky. I'm not saying that at all. It's just not vast, infinite space. I don't know where these things are coming from. We don't even know what the firmament's even made of. We can molten glass? Is it some kind of, I don't know, fiberglass of some kind? Or is it made of stone in many ways? Is it made of precious stones? Do when things fall from such a height and end up coming to the earth, did they burn up going through certain layers and reaching speeds? Is the composition of whatever falls off the firmament that it reacts with chemicals in the atmosphere and burns up because of the, and then it turns into like a charred stone at the end or something? Like these things clearly happen. I mean, how do we explain cryogenic meteors? So cryogenic meteors are giant chunks of ice that fall from the sky. Okay. They defy the model we've been given, which is that they burn up in the atmosphere, right? If it's a lump of ice, it would not hit the ground. It would be turned to water vapor instantly, okay? But that doesn't happen. And they have all the explanations to explain this to us, but it's just ice. It's ice falling from the sky. Like, how do we explain this other than that it's just falling off some glass up there or something like that? I don't know. I think they're playing a lot of tricks on us as well. I think a lot of these are hoaxes. I think they could mimic a meteor crash quite easily. You know, they could probably send a rocket that breaks up, and from our perspective, it looks like a meteor breaking up or something like that. And then, yeah, maybe they can plant a rock somewhere. I think we have to wonder. We really have to wonder. And also, I think there's a spiritual aspect to this as well. I really do. I think angels and fallen angels and interdimensional entities and beings that are here with us who are working against us can do things in the sky. They can make wonders happen. They can make rocks appear. I just showed you the odd thing last in the last live Q&A that turned up in Colombia. Some metal orb was flying through the sky and then landed, and they picked it up, and the guy who's picked it up apparently got ill afterwards, and now they're x-raying the damn thing, and it's just extremely dense material, like, and this thing was hovering around. So that's mysterious. It's clearly a demon. It's got like ancient glyphs carved into the metal of this thing. It's perfectly sealed with no welds, and it's kind of, yeah, odd things are happening, and sightings are happening, and rocks are falling from the sky, but that doesn't mean space. Like, that doesn't mean space. That's just the narrative they've told us of where these things are coming from. I don't know where they're coming from, necessarily. I don't know how to explain these things. I don't know what the waters above, what's going on in those waters, for all I know, just beyond our the thing holding back the waters, you know? What if the firmament isn't a physical object? What if it's just pressure? What if it's just a bubble? What if we're inside a bubble and that's what's holding back the waters above? Density, pressure, you know, and what if things come through the water and just fall? What if rocks just float through that water, eventually just plop through into the bubble and just drop to the ground? That's probably a good way to explain me. Like, I don't know. But it's an enclosed system. It's not vast, infinite space going on for forever and ever and ever. That's how we do it, isn't it? You know, I'm not saying everything. Like, I'm not saying rocks don't exist. I'm saying the story we've been told about how they got here is a lie. It's nonsense. And there you go. So there's my answer. There's my long answer for you. Does that give you something? That gives you something. Basically, gave you nothing there. I'm sorry. I'm trying. We've been lied to so much, I go with God, all is possible, and God gave Satan authority over Earth, so we will find out, says Mike McKenzie. I wouldn't say he gave him authority over Earth. Christ is king, Christ has all authority. He just let him loose on the Earth under Christ's dominion, and Christ is holding back. I think that's more likely what's happened here. And we'll see what happens. But if you ask Christ to step in, he'll step in. You know what I mean? It's not like Satan has all the power and it's hopeless while he's here let loose. That's not what's going on. I think it's an interesting time to be alive, I'd say that much, in this little season. So what is it? 200 so-called meteor craters, and there so happens to be 200 fallen angels. I don't believe in meteors. It's a little sus. Exactly, yeah. 200 watchers, and the Earth is scattered with like 200 meteor craters. Yeah, well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Sorry, guys. My chat just leaps away from me, and I have no idea what's going on. The Prince of the Power of the Air. That's a good description, yep. Falls from heaven like lightning, like a meteor, let's say. Paul, do you think holographic technology could be used with a dome above us as a large giant screen, says Brian Templer. I think the screen aspect of it, I think the firmament's way higher than we know, than we realize. I don't think we actually can conceptualize just how high up that firmament is. Like, it's not like millions of miles away, like, but it's still a long distance. It's a very, very vast difference. And it could be possible that if you get close to the top of it, it's like being in space. You float. You know what I mean? There's no density anymore. Who knows what it's like up there? It probably gets dark and everything and weird and cold. And it's probably something else like space, you know, but I think that's too high up to project anything. I think it's going to be more localized. I think it's the atmospheric aerosol injections are putting up there, the metal particles that's in the stratosphere. That's where they're creating a sheet where they can project something. And it's a lot lower than the firmament, I would say. That's just my guess. That's why, logically speaking, I think that's the case. An alien craft, and they named it Tic Tac. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that in the news. Paul, I just introduced your channel and we'll be giving your book to my dad today. I'm excited to discuss it with him in the future, says Colton. Good, let me know how that goes. Send me an email how your dad receives the book. Tell him I say hi. Okay, show him this clip. Hello, Colton's dad. I enjoyed the book. Bear with me. I know how it sounds. It goes deeper than you think. Okay, it's not what you think. All right, the Nephilim like clowns is a hook. It's a gospel trap. You're about to get hit with the gospel, which you might already know, but also some real history. Like, it's all backed up. Check out the back. All the references are there, about 386 of them. I'm not just talking out of my ass with this one. Enjoy it. Enjoy the book. Let me know how he likes it, Colton. Let me know. Maybe it's a huge circus tent, says Danielle. It could be. It could be. I don't know. Maybe it is. Project Dominique. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's right. Well, he already knew he was singing Lady Gaga in school choir. I just set him straight and did it. I don't know what's going on there. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, right. So what I'm going to do, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. Halftime break for me. I'm going to play another song for you guys that somebody sent me. Let me just check my emails here so I can let you know who we're going to be listening to. This is by a band called Once Erased, and the song is called The Vow. Justin sent me this email. He said, hey there, Paul, huge fan of your work. My band, Once Erased, would love for you to play our tunes. This particular track, The Vow, harkens back to the Garden of Eden. People can interpret it as they may, but the original idea speaks of the core fundamentals of loyalty and subsequently dealing with betrayal. Hope you enjoy, Justin. And he sent me the link to this, Once Erased, The Vow. I'm just going to press pause here before it plays. I'm going to play this for you guys as well. I'll share the screen here so you can see it. And they have a little music video, which is cool. So you got something to watch while this plays. It's a bit of a heavy rock song. You might be into this. You might not be. We have an eclectic array of music on this channel. I'm not being picky about the genre of music that gets played. This might be for some, might not be for others. But this week, we're going to play this one by Once Erased, The Vow. Enjoy, and I'll be back once this song is over in 4 minutes, guys. We'll be right back. And we're back. There we go, guys. What do you think of that? Go and enjoy it. Look for that song. But what are they called? What was the band called? I've lost it already. My inbox is full. I've lost them. I'll leave the links anyway in the description of this video to the band so you can go listen to The Vow yourself. I like people saying that they're going to pretend that the lead single was Brian from Demon Erasers. It's Demons, bro. It's Demons. It's the only thing it could be. It's got to be just be Demons. Nah, it's Demons. It's Demons, bro. I'm telling you, it's Demons. Anyway, yeah, enjoy that, that for what it is. See, I'm not really into heavy metal music myself. I know some people really love that kind of stuff. And that's not even the heaviest one I just listened to. That was pretty tame for some of the things I've heard in the past, you know. But I can't really get into that style. I don't know. It's just something I've never... I just don't get it. I don't get it personally. That's just me. No shade on the band. They're clearly proficient, talented in what they do. And I know people like that kind of stuff. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me. Don't get offended, you know. But if you did enjoy what they do, go and listen to them, guys. Go and check out their work. Again, I'll leave a link in the description. And while I'm talking here, I'm going to quickly get it for you. So I'll put it in the chat as well. So you can go check them out immediately if you want to. But to find it, I'm going to have to just quickly type in music and my emails. And where is it gone? Here it is. So yeah, Justin Cox sent me that. The band is called Once Erased. Here's the link. I'm going to post that in the chat for you guys so you can go and check it out for yourself. Here we go. There's a link in the chat to the song. Probably a 20 second delay on why that was there. Paul, what do you think about unclean vocals? Says J5000. I don't know what do you mean? People swearing? I mean, I try to swear as little as possible. But I'm not perfect, and I swear occasionally too. I'm not going to judge people for swearing. And sometimes the language can emphasize a point when used correctly. So I'm not really bothered. I don't care about unclean vocals. I don't care. Yeah. Saint Paul, I prefer older metal, says Marcus. No, it's not like I prefer older metal. I just don't care about metal. I'm just not into it. It's not my vibe. You know what I'm saying? It's just not my vibe. People think it's amazing. That was great, says, but see, people love it. There you go. People definitely like it. There we go. Who has seen the video on water memory and frequencies? It shows what most music does to our cells. Once you watch it, it will change your mind. I'll put the name up next. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, the effect music has a profound effect on everything around it. Absolutely. Right, guys, so I'm going to continue with the presentation and we're going to talk about telescopes. And this actually is Susan, the one who's from Understanding Creativity, who gave the Klimt presentation. She sent me an email about this, and I'm just going to have to quickly log into my other account to get the email up so I can say exactly what she said to me rather than just making up on the spot. So she sent me an email explaining about this, just this random side tangent. She says, Paul, what do you think about this? A topic for your conspiracy? And she said, a number of the telescopes and observatories around the world have shut down in the last few years, and they're keeping it quiet, yet it's very significant. And she sent me a couple of articles kind of talking about this. And the first one was because of COVID. And it seems like in 2020, and it's last updated in 2023, this article, they shut down a lot of telescopes. And we're talking like big, powerful ones, you know? And mass closures, like just shut them all down. And then after that, cyber attacks started happening on telescopes, like a couple of years later, and many of them were forced to shut down then. And mysterious cyber attacks, unknown source, no one knows where it's come from, but they've shut down all the telescopes and we can't use them. And then recently, it seems like they're just shutting them again then because they haven't got funding anymore. Something like this. That's like three attacks over like the space of like 3 years of just reasons to shut down telescopes. You know what I mean? And Susan, well, is speculating. She's thinking, is this to hide something, to stop people's abilities to start looking up a little bit more? Is there something going on that they don't want these powerful telescopes looking at or something? Just an interesting concept. Like, what's going on exactly here? They don't want people, she's saying, obviously, they don't want people watching the skies. So we can only speculate. Is it perhaps gaps in the firmament control the skies for the fake alien invasion, genuine shifts in the sun, moon, and stars that would freak out observers. So they're just not letting people observe, like, so they don't notice. She says she hasn't done her research on this, but maybe if I have a chance, I can look into it. And maybe our collective growing army of truth warriors might be able to investigate this further. So let's just read the articles that she sent, shall we? And then and we'll have a look at what they have to say about this. And let's see if we can't formulate our own idea of just maybe what is going on here. And I'll have some ideas at the end that I think maybe this links to the whole asteroid thing myself. But here's one of the articles. COVID-19 forces Earth's largest telescope to close. Looks like I might have to zoom out for this one a little bit just to fit the whole article in. But there we go. And I'm going to scroll through. So more than 100 of Earth's largest telescopes are now closed, and astronomers are worried about the pandemic's long-term impact on the field. Alarms sounded around 3 a.m. on April 3rd. An electric malfunction had stalled the behemoth South Pole telescope as it mapped radiation left over from the Big Bang or whatever. Astronomers Alan Foster and Jeffrey Chen crawled out of bed and got dressed to shield themselves from the minus 70 degree Fahrenheit temperatures outside. They then trekked a few thousand feet across the ice to restart the telescope. The sun set weeks ago in Antarctica. Daylight won't return for 6 months, and yet life at the bottom of the planet hasn't much changed much, even as the rest of the world has turned upside down. The last flight from the region from February, blah, 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 blah. 42, but you're just talking about people living there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why the South Pole Telescope is one of the largest observatories still monitoring the sky. As Astronomy Magazine, Tally has found that more than 100 of Earth's biggest research telescopes have closed in recent weeks due to COVID. What started as a trickle of closures in February and early March has become an almost complete shutdown of observational astronomy. And the closures are unlikely to end soon. Observatory directors said they could be offline for 3 to 6 months or longer. In many cases, resuming operations will mean inventing new ways of working during the pandemic, and that might not be possible for some instruments that require teams of technicians to maintain and operate. As a result, new astronomical observatories' discoveries are expected to come to a crawl. If everybody in the world stops observing, then we have a gap in our data that you can't recover, says astronomer blah blah blah. This will be a period that we, in the astronomy community, have no data on what happened. Yet these short-term losses aren't astronomers' main concern. They're accustomed to losing telescopes from time to time to bad weather. They're just not concerned, as everyone else, about the risks of coronavirus to their loved ones. So for now, all the astronomers can sit at home and wait for the storm to clear. So it's just more propaganda, isn't it? If we have our first bright supernova in hundreds of years, that would be terrible. Well, you wouldn't know, would you? Because you missed it. How would you know if there was a supernova or not? But except for the really rare events like that, most of the science will be done next year. The universe is 13.7 billion years old. We can wait a few months, whatever. Whatever. Yes, there will be a loss of data for 6 months or so. Yada, yada, yada. What's this about asteroids? Asteroids offer clues to early solar system and promise precious resources. That is, assuming they don't kill us first. To learn more, download our free ebook, Defending the Earth from Asteroids. I'm going to have to open that tab for next, all right? Sorry, that's just an ad, which is clearly talking about what we're talking about. Closing the window of the cosmos. So basically, it's just saying they close them down for COVID. Okay, and they say, oh, we don't know what we're missing. What if something happens, like a black hole or a galaxy or something happens, and we're going to miss it? There's a gap in our data. But yeah, they close down over 100. And I don't think they all came back on, that I'm aware of. Where's the update? I want to see the 2023 update. There is no update. Apparently it was updated in 2023, but I can't see where they've done this. Modern day cathedrals. Yeah, so now it's about funding. NASA and Congress take its recommendations to heart when deciding which projects get funded. Until recent weeks, the economy had been strong and astronomers had hoped for decades of new robotic explorers, larger telescopes, and getting serious about defending Earth from asteroids. So they made this article about defending the Earth from asteroids. What are we going to do without our telescopes? We won't be able to defend the Earth from asteroids. What do we do now? We're screwed. But yeah, they have been shutting down, apparently, quite a few. So first it was COVID. 100 were shut down. Who knows how many actually reopened after this? I'm assuming not all of them. Look at this side article, Defending the Earth from Asteroids. They can offer clues, blah, blah, blah. It's just advertising a book we can download. Do I want to download this book, or is it a trap? I don't know. I'm not going to download it now. I'll do it privately. I'll find out. Yeah, so that's one. And then there's this other article that Susan sent me here. From Giant Freaking Robot. Here we go. They're being shut down by an unknown force. Cyber attackers are targeting National Science Foundation telescopes, and no one knows why. Since the beginning of August, an unknown cyber incident has disrupted National Science Foundation Center tasked with coordinating international astronomy efforts. The attacks have disconnected telescopes in Hawaii and Chile, preventing scientists from conducting research during important observational windows. So someone cyber attacked these places and took them down. They're puzzled as to why the Gemini North telescope became the target. No one knows why this happened. It just seems so odd. So we've got NOAA lab staff have been working tirelessly to find temporary issues, the lack of remote observation capabilities, blah, blah, blah. Another telescope, I believe, as well, has just gone out of commission. If I can quickly check here, is it telescope shut down? So another one was permanently shut down in 2020 due to structural failure and collapse. And also, I believe one called Gaia has just been put out of commission. That was circling around in space, apparently. So they say, farewell to Gaia, the Milky Way's cartographer. So this... I'm sorry, just look at this thing. What is it when you really look at it? You know what I mean? What's it covered in? What's it made of? It's made of tinfoil, right? It's flimsy. It looks like a high school art project. You know what I mean? Like, I'm... Stuff like this, it really makes you... You know, like how the moon landing shuttle was just made of, like, I don't know, strings of nylon fabric. And a few metal poles are kind of haphazardly slapped together with some, like, welded iron here and there. You know what I mean? They just covered the thing in tinfoil, so it's a bit reflective. And it's kind of like, what is this? This thing is harshing the brutal weather of space, mapping out the universe for us somewhere up there, supposedly. Like, I don't know. It looks like a bin bag, says Robert. Like, I made better ships in second grade. Tinfoil. You know, like, yeah, these things are, I don't know. I feel like you feel like they're just laughing at us. You know what I mean? Like, they're having a big joke at our expense. Anyway, the ancient star streams, the innards of the white dwarf, the Gaia Space Telescope has seen it all. On Thursday, mission specialist in European Space Agency sent Gaia, which is now low on fuel, into orbit around the sun and switched it off after more than a decade of service to the world's astronomers. They overwrote some of Gaia's onboard memory with the names of team members, some of whom wrote personal goodbyes. So it's been charting since 2014, and of March 2025, they've just shut down this telescope as well, this thing in space somewhere. They're shutting down telescopes. Cyber attacks have been taking telescopes out as well. When was that? That was in 2 years ago. So we're running out of telescopes. I have the feeling they're using this as an excuse when the asteroids hit. This is my working theory, just coming off the top of my head. It's lining up with everything else we're talking about, right? About the threat of asteroids. And even added it at the end of that article that Susan sent me. It's like, how are we supposed to warn people about asteroids during COVID? What if an asteroid's coming? We won't be able to tell anybody. We're doomed. You can't let scientists not have their telescopes, otherwise we wouldn't know asteroids are coming. And it's like, oh no, cyber attacks are taking down our first line of defense against asteroids. It's like, without the telescope, what's going on? It's almost like they want us to get hit by asteroids, these hackers. What are they thinking? It's like always about asteroids somehow. And it's propaganda. They're repeating themselves. They're using everything they can to make us scared of asteroids. And that is exactly what she said. That's exactly what we were warned about. The plan, guys. The asteroid plan before the fake alien invasion. I'm gonna have to get the video up. I'm gonna have to get it up and just play the damn thing. Let me have a look here. What would it? Werner Von Braun, assistant.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rosin. In 1974, after being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space. And I said, teachers don't stop until June. He said, no, you have to understand, this is February, and we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies, he said, against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids. And then he would repeat to me over and over, and the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat. Well, at the time, I kind of laughed when he said asteroids, and when he said extraterrestrials, I knew I wasn't going to deal with that subject. And now we hear on the news just today, this week, that they've slid in another enemy. Only this time we're going to protect our satellites. In other words, we have to have some reason to spend these trillions, to waste these dollars on a space-based weapon system, and they're all lies.
There we go. Dramatic, right? Very dramatic. Is she telling the truth? Is she a part of it all herself? Just trying to, I don't know. Who knows? But they are definitely doing exactly what she said they would do. They're pushing the asteroid thing on us now, aren't they? And, you know, Von Braun said to her, you are going to stop the weaponization of space. Well, looks like it's down to me now. I'm going to have to stop the weaponization of space by telling everybody it's all a load of bollocks. None of it's real. Come on. Come on. It's nonsense, okay? And yeah, I don't trust this woman as far as I can throw her. But if their agenda is to, if they've told us through revelation of method what their agenda is going to be through her, then this is the agenda playing out in front of us. Now they're doing the asteroid threat thing, and then the final card will be the alien invasion thing. Okay? And I mean, that's it seems to be like clockwork. They literally have told us what they're going to do, and it's happening step by step. There we go. that's then it seems like the satellites being shut off are just going in tandem with this. You know, we need to protect our satellites up there, and now the telescopes are just being shut off. We're just going to turn them off ourselves. And some strange unknown force has hacked and shut down our telescopes. And it's kind of, why would they target the telescopes? We just don't know. It's kind of, all right, okay. We're not really under attack. Like, this is all just a show, isn't it? This is just a show to get people to demand a response, you know? And maybe, again, Trump's dome thing is like one of the first steps to this, because that's what it is, right? That's how he's going to do it, right? Is it weapons in space to protect us from rockets? Is that basically what's going on there? I don't know. And again, my working theory is, I bet it's going to stop an asteroid for us, and we'll be like, we all need this, let's cover the entire earth in a dome. And then we've come full circle, haven't we, back to biblical cosmology again, and then everyone suddenly will get it, and it's like, oh, I see. There we go. Anyway, guys, there's my presentation, my tirade, for what it's worth. I'm not repeating myself here. This is nothing new. I just thought it's funny how it's like they really don't hide any of this stuff. They don't even try. Most people just don't have the time to bother to notice. That seems to be what's going on here. I believed her 20 years ago, and I still think she's telling the truth. It's funny how it's always the same story. Yeah. I've heard this so many times, says Cult of Con. Yeah, I know. It's old. That's old school. That video is like one of the first things you ever watch when you first wake up. It's one of those. It's a classic. You know what I mean? That's up there in the classic clips that we've all come to know in the truth of world. Rio Rodriguez says, asteroids are demons, bro. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. You can at least respect the asteroids for having the forethought to shut off the telescopes first. They are scary, but smart. So I like that. Well, that seems to be what's happening there, doesn't it? The most amazing government organization in human history. You guys are amazing, NASA. Thank you for your amazing contributions to all of us. That's really... I hope that's sarcasm, Crypto Grady. Everything's a lie, says Trish. Seems that way. NASA's number one in my book. Not going to tell you which book, but definitely number one. NASA is amazing. He told her that at least. New Agers walking us into one world. I just can't completely trust it. And a lot of these people, these whistleblowers, these alien agenda whistleblowers, are all into the New Age stuff. That's true. Take it all with a pinch of salt, that's for sure. But I feel like the whole, and then it'll be aliens. The fact that she believes it's aliens and not demons or whatever it is, or not fallen angels, tells me she too is definitely deceived, because she believes it's aliens, you know, that people would believe that it was aliens. There's levels, there's tiers to truth, you know, and the alien stuff and believing in aliens is lower tier truth or stuff, I'd say. And again, usually ends up blending in with the New Age stuff, that's for sure. Same shit, different day, new threats to create fear, says Trish. Absolutely. I don't know about scaring, it's getting boring, says Linda. It is, isn't it? You know, it's but there's always new generations growing up that they have to instill the fear onto. So it's boring for us who have been listening to this crap for like decades. It's not boring for the younger generations who have never contemplated these ideas before. They have to keep it fresh. So there's always going to be a new asteroid threat every year to get the new people. Every year. They're going to always have to do it all the time. And it's never going to end. It's never going to end. There we go, guys. So I've gone for an hour and a half, according to mine. And maybe it's longer, maybe it's less. I have no idea. But it's a 12:45 for me, so I'm going to have to call this a night. I'm going to have to wind this down. Thanks for being here, everybody. I really appreciate it. It's nice to have a bit of a therapy session. It was good having a back and forth with you all and just getting this stuff off my chest. I kind of slapped this together last minute through a few random sporadic topics that I knew I'd dotted around here and there. Make sure, like I said, final plug just for my new channel, Understanding Creativity. Please go over there and subscribe if you haven't already. If you like what I do on understanding conspiracy, you will enjoy that content. It is more conspiracy stuff. It's just this, but more. Okay, so go over there and check it out. If you want to learn about art, learn about art history, and also enjoy some rants and raves against how terrible modern art is and how terrible architecture is today and all this, go and check it out. It's really, the guests are amazing. It's really a showcase of talents as well. Go over there to Understanding Creativity and go and check that out if you haven't already. I'll end this show playing again a clip, a teaser for the next video that's coming up on there. Thanks again, Doug, for this session on the book, Modern Art and the Death of Culture. I'm going to be reading this soon. If you want a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, go to Amazon, get yourself a copy, links down below. If you want a signed copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, I have one hardcover left and two paperbacks right here. So if you want to get yourself one of these signed, just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I will get that for you in the post. You just pay through PayPal and we can get that arranged in no time, and I'll send it out by yours truly, and I'll sign it right here in this office. I'll do it all for you, and I'll send it out. Just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. But there we go, guys. That's the show. Thanks for joining me for another Truth of Therapy sessions. I'll be with you soon. I'll be back on Wednesday for a live Q&A, as always, and I'll have some videos in between. I'll be releasing the latest video for Understanding Creativity in a couple of days, too. But there we go, guys. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
They look at me and they're like, oh, you're really going to do this, aren't you? Yeah. Like, why would I come if I'm not going to do it? And they're like, you're like 1 in 100. Like, literally, like, nobody takes this information and does anything with it. And it was the hubris of youth. A huge project to do as my first project. And in a lot of ways, it nearly killed me. You literally don't score unless you shoot. So, you know, fortune favors the bold. Like, you have to go for it if you want something.